Ramon, did you hear about the movie Constipation?
No.
It never came out.
Oh.
Welcome to the Dude Catholic Podcast. I'm your co-host Adrian, here with the main host, a man who does origami with stones.
I'm Ramon.
Yes, you are. Today, we begin a new series titled, This Little Light, with an episode titled...
Cover.
That's right. Our scripture today comes from...
The book of John, chapter 16, verse 33. I have said this to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Delicious.
Yes, indeed. And so let's get this podcast on the road. Speaking of road, last time we were talking about the path and certain seeds that get thrown out there. And the sower throws a seed, scatters it, and some of it falls on the path. Birds come and eat it. Some of it falls on rocky ground. Some others fall among thorns. And one of the things is that these little seeds, they have legs, and they can plant themselves wherever they want. You know, and that was the whole message of the last series, is that we have the power to go where the river of living water is. And so what ends up happening is that things try to extinguish this little light of ours. You know, this life that we have, this life which is fragile. You know, God says that we shouldn't fear the one that can destroy our bodies, but we should fear the one that can destroy our souls. And that's what this episode is about. We're, well, not so much that about being in fear, but about being of good cheer because God has overcome the world. Yeah, our light is small, but I don't know who said this. Maybe Confucius, maybe Origen, I don't know who it was, but the saying goes that it is better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. And if you are that little candle, that little light, it is in your best interest that that little light may not be extinguished. So we're talking about covering up that candle, covering up that light.
A while back I was given the privilege to be a confirmation teacher, and I think you were the youth minister.
Maybe
at that point. No, maybe after, yeah. A little bit after that.
Okay, cool.
Man, teenagers have a lot of questions about the faith. They're just so hungry for it, and I can't remember exactly what we were talking about. And I remember one of them told me, like, whoa, well, what else do you have to teach us? And I said, no, I don't teach you anything, man. It's just a little discussion about the faith. And like, well, yeah, but like, how do you stay so faithful? And how do you stay so this and that? Because they saw me, not all of them, of course, they're teenagers, but the majority of them saw me as a church guy for some reason. And like, how do you keep that light, that faith going? What makes you so faithful? And it choked me up a bit. Like, all these emotions came and I kept them in. I wasn't gonna get all like that in front of them. So I'm like, man, like one of God's little kids sees me as this Roman candle. And it got me thinking. And I actually told him, I was like, just give me a minute. Yeah, that's kind of a heavy question because it's so easy to answer, but it's so hard for me to find that answer within me. So give me a few moments. And I told him, look, I'm a very flawed man. But one thing that actually helps me stay on track is knowing that I can't do this by myself, knowing that I cannot go on without the Eucharist. And I told him, I know that sounds so churchy, but that's the only way that I know. And then he looked at me and then he just nodded like, yeah, like, I get it. Because I know he got it because I gave him the opportunity to talk. And then I actually asked him, like, what do you think? Something along those lines. And he was speechless. He just kept nodding his head yes. There's something so powerful about prayer. And you know, you said it right now, Adrian. You put it so well. Instead of cursing the darkness and you know, to touch a little bit on the last episode of this past series that we talked about, the thorns. You know, we always want to blame the outside factors, the thorns. Oh, well, I'm not growing in my faith because my phone, I can just look up whatever. And it's not your phone that's the problem. It's what's in your heart. It's what's in you. And if the Eucharist is not in you and if prayer is not in you, that light is going to die. Mm-hmm. You're going to turn off that light. You're going to let those thorns suffocate your seed of faith. And that young man, that 15-year-old at the time, I want to believe that he understood what I shared with him even better than I understood. Because, yeah, I got a little emotional because I'm a little crybaby, but him, he was just in awe of what God was communicating to him through me. And I was, I say blessed. I'm going to say blessed. I was blessed enough to have been there, to have been used by God to share that message with him.
Yeah, it's kind of a humbling thing how we cover other people's candles from being blown out. You know, sometimes we help bring them back to ignition, if you may. And it's funny because, I mean, hopefully, you know, when we're doing anything that's teaching someone else the faith, we're humble enough to understand that it's not us and that God can do the work of evangelism in the church way better than we can. You know, and sometimes I talk about like our life here at home and how I cook with the kids and I have them help out from time to time, and it takes longer to do with them because they, you know, they have smaller hands, they don't know what to do, so you have to teach them and you have to take longer to do things. So God can do things a whole lot easier without us, but somehow, some way, he chooses us. Mm-hmm. And those who don't want to will take that as a cop-out and say, well, if God doesn't need me, then I'm going to go. Stupid. But that's not the point. The point over here is that God will use even us, you know, because sometimes we'll say some stuff and then we'll get some feedback online, like whether it's through an email or through a post on social media, and people will say, hey, I felt that, or hey, I can relate to that, or that last episode you said something, and I'm like, snap, maybe there's something else to this. And before we start recording, we say a prayer, and more often than not, we end up asking God to do his will in spite of our worst efforts. You know, because we're trying, but sometimes in trying, we screw things up. You know, and there is God just wanting us to try and applauding our mediocre efforts because we're just knuckle draggers, you know, we're just bumbling idiots sometimes, just trying to get to where we need to be, to where we know we need to be, to where we were not trained to go by certain people in our lives, but here we are, you know, just trying and falling and picking ourselves back up and just trying for that light not to go out. And it's just so significant that you said that right now, that experience, Ramon. Because I can't tell you how many times it's happened to me as well, that people think I'm better than I am. And that's why one quote came to mind. And I don't even remember who it's by. So that's the second time I quote something or someone that I don't know exactly who it is. And The quote is, measure yourself by those who measure themselves by you. Measure yourself by those who measure themselves by you. What that means is that you know you're not as great as some other people make you out to be. And we talk about this sometimes when, for example, when I take the kids to the park and it's just me. It's just me and the kids. And say some middle-aged lady looks at me and doesn't see my wife there. And she's like, hey, good job. Like applauding me for like taking my kids to the park. Like something that's free, you know, it doesn't cost me anything to take my kids to the park other than driving there, you know, and so I don't need to be applauded for that. I mean, it's cool. It's feels good, you know, when people affirm you, but honestly, I'm just doing the bare minimum. I'm just taking them to go have some fun and then we'll have some ice cream or I'll buy cookies and we'll have some milk at home or whatever, you know, but like that stuff right there, like, that's something that's not seen too often. You know, you can't really hate on people that applaud that, but I know that I can do more, that I do actually do more. But when it comes to that, you know, I believe your response was way better than my initial response whenever someone applauds my mediocrity. You know, it's like, yeah, I'm a very flawed man, but I'm trying. I'm screwing up left and right, and I feel like this is like beating a dead horse here. Because we've said this so many times, you know, it's like we try. And I, maybe that's the whole idea, you know, behind this community is that we're just a bunch of knuckle draggers trying to make it through. Mm-hmm. You know, and some people get a kick out of us and they're like, cool. It's like family, you know? It's like we are like a lot of people's family. We joke around and we know that we're not perfect and we're messing up, but we're getting back up and we're trying again. We're like Rocky, getting beat up all the time, but keeps on coming back. And that's the most dangerous enemy. The one that keeps coming back at you. And that's basically what we are. We're a bunch of white belts in Catholicism. Just one more thing before I let you pick up, because I know there's something going on in that head of yours. But there was this episode of The Simpsons where Homer starts boxing professionally. And the whole idea is that his brain is so small and his skull is so thick that he can't get brain damage. So all he has to do is take a beating. And then the other guy gets tired. Because I don't know if you've ever punched a punching bag as much as you can for as long as you can. And as hard as you can and whatnot. You know, if a target's not moving, you can go after it until you get tired. And you get tired rather quickly. You know, throw punches, as many punches as you can for as long as you can. And you'll find out that 5 minutes is a heck of a long time. And so Homer was just taking beatings, and then at the very end, he'd just push the opponent over and they would fall over because they were so exhausted of punching him and not knowing why he's not being defeated. Sometimes that's what I feel like. Sometimes I feel like God's there. You know, but at the end of that episode, he faced a professional boxer, the one that is not Mike Tyson, you know, Dredrick Tatum. Oh, man. And he could punch very hard. And that's one of the things, you know, about not letting our candle go out is that we can't just rest in knowing that we're idiots or that we're limited or that we're whatever this false humility that we've been displaying is. You know, we can't just rest on that and be like, yeah, I mess up and I get back up or I come back. Like, it's not just that. It's that we have to actively keep on getting after it. Every day. Yeah, we're screwing up, but we're also relentless in chasing after the heart of the Father. Because he's relentless in chasing after us.
I should have thought about this more thoroughly. Because you already spilled the beans of what I'm doing. And it's not like this podcast is like worldwide famous.
Oh, it's worldwide.
But it's not famous, and, no. And which is a good thing, because I just wanted to reach those that want to, I wanted to be within reach to those that actually want to grab it.
Talking about the origami?
Sure. Okay. And this is probably one of the last things I'm going to say about what I'm doing right now. One of the instructors there, and he's the real deal, man. he really is a real deal. 18 years old, he joined the army, 2 combat tours to Iraq. After that, he joined the department. And he said, you guys want to know why I joined the department? And he actually talks like that, too. It's not him, like, trying to sound tough. Because I hate gangsters. I grew up in Compton, and those people were just hurting innocent people. Like, people that spoke no English. And they were just trying to make a living on the streets. And he used to beat them up and take all their money. And now they couldn't feed their family, and now they're beat up. And he said this several times, but then the last time he brought it up, he was talking about, like, the grooming standards and, you know, like, instead of trying to look all cute, you should be aiming to be a deputy dog that's always ready for a fight so that you can protect those that can't protect themselves instead of trying to look good. That's what this is all about. The spiritual warfare is no joke. The seeds that die, our faith, the light that goes out, our faith, that's no joke. And like you said, Adrian, it's not just about us being, you know, being flawed and, oh, yeah, I mess up, but I get back up. It's about being having that sheepdog that's always ready for a nasty fight with the wolf, that spooky wolf that's gonna take our light and the light of those that we love. It is our responsibility to go to confession, to partake in the Eucharist, to go to Mass, to guard our hearts and our souls. Always be ready for a fight instead of trying to look good. And this is not like a tough guy thing. This is more of you grab those rosary beads and you pray because your life depends on it. So pray for us.
And we'll pray for you.
Ferrum.
Ferrum.
Aquitur.
Captain, the world is Mr. Malenkov, Mr. Dalenkov, Mr. Eisenhorn, Woosen, Weasen, Marzen, Wooser, and Mr. Woodhill, and Mr. Beechhill, and Mr. Churchill, and all them hills, they gonna get it straight. If they can't straighten it, they know a cat that knows a cat that's gonna get it straight. Well, I'm gonna put a cat on you, was the sweetest, gonest, wailingest cat that ever stomped on this sweet, swinging sphere. And they called this your cat, Benaz. That was the cat's name. He was a carpenter kitty. Now, Benaz was a kind of a cat that come on so wild and so sweet and so strong and so witted that when he laid it, wham, it stayed there.